Om Sang Saraswati Namaha on page 192, chapter 5. And the application. Om, presenting the concluding episode. The reliever from suffering is the seer. The great goddess of all pervading knowledge is the deity. Anushtup, 32 syllables to the verse, is the meter. Bhima is the energy. Brahmori is the seed. The sun is the principle. Samaveda is the intrinsic nature. And for the satisfaction of the great goddess of all pervading knowledge, this last episode is being applied in recitation. The meditation. Bearing in her lotus hands the bell of continuous tone, the pike of concentration, the plow sowing the seeds of the way of truth to wisdom, the conch of vibrations, the pestle of refinement, the discus of revolving time, the bow of determination, and the arrow of speech, whose radiance is like the moon in autumn, whose appearance is most beautiful, who is manifested from the body of she who is rays of light and is the support of the three worlds, that great goddess of all pervading knowledge who destroyed self-conceit and other thoughts, I worship. So there she is with eight arms. This is Mahasaraswati. Om Kling, the rishi said. In olden days, there were two thoughts, self-conceit and self-deprecation, who, with the abundance of their self-conceit, robbed the rule of the pure, the husband of the power that rules, and master of the three worlds, of a portion of sacrifice. So here are these two ferocious thoughts, self-conceit and self-deprecation, who have this abundance of self-conceit. Both of them do. Even self-deprecation, who is always thinking about me and how poor I am, how bad I am, and how unqualified I am, he is still a servant of self-conceit. So self-conceit and self-deprecation both have an abundance of self-conceit. They're always thinking about themselves. And that self-conceit and self-deprecation stole the portion of sacrifice from Indra, the rule of the pure. Those two assume the dominions of the light of wisdom and devotion, the lord of wealth, the power of control, and the lord of equilibrium and the light of meditation were also removed and made them subservient. The effects of emancipation and the light of meditation were also removed. These two defeated the gods, assumed their authority, and spoiled the kingdom. Look what heaven is like when it's ruled by self-conceit. We forget our divinity immediately, start becoming burdened by the responsibilities of life. He just spoiled the kingdom, and with disrespect, all the gods were put out of heaven. Remember the last time we were put out of heaven? And we went in front of the manifested image of the Divine Mother, and she came like a blazing pillar of fire and illuminated the heavens. And we sang a hymn of praise to her, and she gave us the boon of our desire. She said, whenever you remember me with one-pointed devotion, there and then I will give you intuitive perception and remove your every difficulty. And if through forgetfulness or ignorance or under the burden of the dominion of self-conceit, you forget that you're gods and think that you are human beings, any human being who chants these verses will get increase in their cherished objective. Whatever objective you define, if you sing these verses with one-pointed attention, then and there you will achieve increase towards your ultimate goal. Having been thus insulted by the two great thoughts, the gods remembered the invincible goddess and thought of the boon the mother of the universe gave to us. In any time of adversity, if you remember me, then and there I will eradicate your every distress. That's the story. Then and there. Thinking thus, the gods went to the king of the mountains in the Devi Mandir and there began to extol the goddess, the supreme lord, the great measurement of the consciousness that pervades all. The god said, "We bow to the goddess, to the great goddess, to the energy of infinite goodness at all times we bow. We bow to nature, to the excellent one. With discipline, we have bowed down. To the reliever of sufferings, we bow. To the eternal, to the embodiment of rays of light, to the creatress, to she who manifests light, to the form of devotion, to happiness. Continually, we bow down. To the welfare of those who bow, we bow. To change, to perfection, to dissolution, to the wealth that sustains the earth, to the wife of consciousness, to you, we bow, we bow. To she who removes difficulties, to she who removes beyond all difficulties, to the essence, to the cause of all, to perception, and to the doer of all, to the unknowable one, continually we bow down. To the extremely beautiful and to the extremely fierce. We bow to her, we bow to her, we bow, we bow. We bow to the establisher of the perceivable universe, to the goddess, to all action. We bow, we bow. To the divine goddess in all existence, who is addressed as the perceivable form of the consciousness that pervades all. The perceivable form of the consciousness that pervades all. We bow to her, we bow to her, we bow to her. Continually we bow, we bow. To the divine goddess in all existence, who resides all throughout the consciousness and is known by the reflections of mind. We bow to her, we bow to her, we bow to her. Continually we bow, we bow. Join me and bow. To the divine goddess who resides in all existence in the form of intelligence. We bow to her. We bow to her. We bow to her. Continually we bow, we bow. To the divine goddess who resides in all existence in the form of sleep. We bow to her. We bow to her. We bow to her. Continually we bow, we bow. To the divine goddess who resides in all existence in the form of hunger. We bow to her, we bow to her, we bow to her. Continually we bow, we bow. To the divine goddess who resides in all existence in the form of appearance. We bow to her, we bow to her, we bow to her. Continually we bow, we bow. To the divine goddess who resides in all existence in the form of energy. We bow to her, we bow to her, we bow to her. Continually we bow, we bow. To the divine goddess who resides in all existence in the form of desire. We bow to her, we bow to her, we bow to her. Continually we bow, we bow. To the divine goddess who resides in all existence in the form of patient forgiveness. We bow to her, we bow to her, we bow to her. Continually we bow, we bow. To the divine goddess who resides in all existence in the form of all living beings. We bow to her, we bow to her, we bow to her. Continually we bow, we bow. To the divine goddess who resides in all existence in the form of humility. We bow to her, we bow to her, we bow to her. Continually we bow, we bow. To the divine goddess who resides in all existence in the form of peace. We bow to her, we bow to her, we bow to her. Continually we bow, we bow. To the divine goddess who resides in all existence in the form of faith. We bow to her, we bow to her, we bow to her. Continually we bow, we bow. To the divine goddess who resides in all existence in the form of beauty enhanced by love. We bow to her, we bow to her, we bow to her. Continually we bow, we bow. To the divine goddess who resides in all existence in the form of true wealth. We bow to her, we bow to her, we bow to her continually, we bow to the divine goddess who resides in all existence in the form of activity. We bow to her, we bow to her, we bow to her continually, we bow to the divine goddess who resides in all existence in the form of recollection. We bow to her, we bow to her, we bow to her continually, we bow into the divine goddess who resides in all existence in the form of compassion. We bow to her, we bow to her, we bow to her continually, we bow to the divine goddess who resides in all existence in the form of satisfaction. We bow to her, we bow to her, we bow to her continually, we bow to the divine goddess who resides in all existence in the form of mother. We bow to her, we bow to her, we bow to her continually, we bow to the divine goddess who resides in all existence in the form of confusion. We bow to her, we bow to her, we bow to her continually, we bow. Presiding over the senses of all beings and pervading all existence, to the omnipresent goddess who individualizes creation, we bow. She makes the individual forms of creation perceivable and distinguishable one from the other. And we bow to her in each and every form which he has distinguished from each other and allowing duality. In the form of consciousness, she distinguishes the individual phenomena of the perceivable universe. She is the form of consciousness. She is the reality. In every form, in every individual phenomena of the perceivable universe, it's all her. We bow to her, we bow to her, we bow to her continually, we bow. In days of old, all of the gods led by Indra, the ruler of the pure, sang these verses of praise for the purpose of accomplishing their desired objective of surrendering the ego in the light of wisdom. Their objective was to surrender the ego and the light of wisdom. And all the gods and goddesses got together and sang these same verses of praise. And for many days that service was rendered, she took away all the energy from the ego. May she, the seer of all, the Lord of all, the source of all good, perform similarly for us, as you did for them. Take away all the energy from the ego. Give it back to the gods. Let us go back to heaven. Maintain our divine perception as gods and goddesses in a world filled with bliss. May she do for us similarly all auspicious things by putting an end to all distress, just as you did for them, so you should do for us. Otherwise, we will say that you are prejudiced and biased. Not fair. We're doing the same thing they did. Why won't you do for us the same as you did for them? If you are a fair and just and loving goddess, if you're the mother of the universe, you have no alternative than to do for us as you did for them. You got to treat all the kids the same. We're putting our case before you, mother. We gods have been harassed by arrogant thoughts in the manner of humans. And at this time, all of us gods bow to the seer of all. We're all bowing to you, Mom, who, when bowed to with devotion and remembered in a physical image, one form, immediately terminates our every adversity. You're such a mother. Whenever we bow to you with one-pointed attention, immediately you will terminate our every adversity. You'll take the energy away from the ego and give it to the gods, and let us maintain our divine perception. You did it for the others in the past. We are doing the same thing that they have done. You did it for them when they did it. Why won't you do it for us when we're doing it? Please, you explain to us what our shortcoming is. You tell us what more we have to do. We're doing the best we can. We're learning as fast as we can. We're practicing to the best of our capacity. You explain to us what more we need to do in order to earn the same merit that they earned in the past. If we're doing the same karma that they did, and you did it for them, tell us what reason there is that you won't do it for us too. Anyone have a reason? Well, keep this in mind when we chant these verses. Keep this definition in mind when we chant these verses. Sometimes I come into the temple and I hear things like, Yadevi Sarvabhuteshin Vishnu Mayeti Shanditam. It's not rock and roll. It's a prayer that we bow to you. We bow to you with the greatest sincerity of our capacity. Don't make it too jazzy. Get into the bhav of what you're saying. Remember, the purpose is just like the gods performed, we are performing. And we want to give the greatest sincerity of our devotion, the greatest purity of our devotion, so that when we bow to you, you really feel that we are bowing to you. It's not an exercise that we're trying to get through quickly or something that we're trying to get over with. Get to the end so I can say that I've read the Chandi. No, please remember the meaning as you express your bhava. Because we want to express the same bhava that they expressed when they did it. Because she did it for them, and it worked for them. So let's not modernize too much. Let's maintain the purity and the sincerity, the dedication, the solemnity of the feeling of surrender. I bow to you with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my attentiveness, with my discipline. I am bowing to you. This is a prayer I'm offering you. And the Rishi said, Your Highness, remember the Rishi was talking to the king, telling the story. Just as the gods were singing that hymn of praise, the goddess of nature came there to bathe in the Ganges. And that supreme empress with beautiful eyebrows asked the gods, whose praise is being sung here? And then from within herself, an auspicious form manifested and said, self-conceit and self-deprecation, two terrible thoughts have defeated the gods and insulted them, and so all the gods have collected here and are singing my praise. So here the goddess, who is the supreme empress of the universe, comes into to bathe in the Ganges. Remember, inside the Shushumna, we have the Ira, the Pingala, and the Shushumna. And the Ira is the Ganga, and the Pingala is the Jamuna. So here she's coming to bathe in this Kundalini Shakti. And she becomes, the goddess of nature comes to in the form of Kundalini energy, the energy within. And she's bathing in this energy of pure devotion. And then she who appears from within, her name is Koshiki. She comes from the Kosh. She's hidden within the Kosh. She who comes from within, she comes out and says, all the gods are collected here to sing my praise. I am she who comes from within, who bathes in the Ganges. So she who comes from within came out. And as the mother of the universe emerged from within the goddess of nature, she is known in all the worlds as Koshiki, she who comes from within, she who lives in the Kosh. After the manifestation of she who comes from within, the body of nature became dark and consequently became a goddess who dwells in the Himalayas, distinguished as the remover of darkness, Kali. She became dark because she took away all of our darkness. And Koshiki came from within and illuminated our light. So now, from the inside came the light out, and the goddess became dark. The light is outside, where we can see it. Thereafter, two servants of self-conceit and self-deprecation named Passion and Anger came and saw the extremely beautiful form worn by the Mother of the Universe. Then self-conceit was told with them. They went back to self-conceit and told them the story. O great king, there is an excessively beautiful woman whose heavenly beauty is illuminating the Himalayas. Such an excellent form no one has ever before beheld. O Lord of Thought, please find out who that goddess is and take her. Of all women, she is a jewel. Her every limb is very beautiful, and the radiant splendor of her body is illuminating all the directions. She is present there. You should see her. There she is, illuminating all the directions with her radiance. Lord of the three worlds, jewels, gems, elephants, horses, the best, all shine in your house. Everyone who owns anything owns it on behalf of self-conceit. Who else is the owner? All the jewels belong to self-conceit. They're mine. The best of everything that is mine. I and mine, they go together. Of elephants, you have the jewel, love for all, taken away from the rule of the pure. Of trees, the tree of life. Of horses, the horse of wisdom. The most wonderful carrier, yoked to the swans of union through the control of breath, which before was with the Lord of creation, now has been brought here and shines in your courtyard, the jewel of its kind. So here was the Brahma's chariot, which was pulled by the swans of pranayama. So hum becomes the Hamsa, and that chariot takes Brahma up to the Brahmaloka. It takes the meditator into the deepest portions of meditation. Of the nine treasures of the Lord of Wealth, you have taken the great lotus of peace, and the ocean has given you a garland of fine lotuses that never lose their luster. The umbrella of the Lord of Equilibrium, which causes gold to flow, stands in your house, and also the chosen chariot that belonged to the Creator of Beings. From death, you have taken the supreme energy known as Moving Beyond. And your brother has taken possession of the shining net of the Lord of Fluctuation. So here, self-deprecation has got some of the gems and jewels and tools of the gods, too. Self-deprecation took away the net of unity from the Lord of Equilibrium, or the Lord of Fluctuation. Of the beings born of the sea, self-deprecation has taken the most excellent jewels. The divine fire himself purified two garments and presented them to you. And so, O Lord of Thought, of all the jewels you have taken the best and most excellent. And of all women, the finest jewel is the goddess of welfare. Why don't you bring her to your house? Sounds like some good advice from Passion and Anger to self-conceit. Rishi said, after hearing the words of Passion and Anger, self-conceit sent he who appears to be a friend, a great thought, as an ambassador to the goddess. He commanded him, explain all this to her with sweet words so that, being pleased, she will quickly come. Then the ambassador went to that very beautiful area in the mountains where the goddess was seated and spoke in tender, honey-like words. The ambassador said, O goddess, the king of thought, self-conceit, is the lord of the three worlds. I have been sent as his ambassador to come to you. All of the gods have been defeated by him, and all obey his commands. No one can violate his order. Listen to the message he sends to you. The entire three worlds are under my authority, and all the gods obey my every command. I personally enjoy the share of every sacrifice. Nobody does anything without remembering me. I am the king of the world. All the finest jewels in the three worlds are under my authority, and I have taken the jewel of elephants, the carrier of the god, the ruler of the pure. The jewel of horses, the horse of wisdom, which was produced from the beginning of creation, the gods have surrendered at my feet. Oh, beautiful one, beyond that, as many beautiful jewels that belong to the gods or to the heavenly beings or to the swiftly proceeding, they all shine with me. Oh, goddess, we consider you to be the finest, the jewel of all women in the creation. Therefore, you come to us because we are the enjoyers of all jewels. You of inconstant gaze, come and serve me and my extremely valiant brother, Self-Deprecation, because you are the very essence of jewels. By fulfilling my wish, you will achieve great glory. Now, use your intelligence to decide if you want to be my wife. So, goddess, here's an invitation for you. Come on down from there and marry Self-Conceit. His self-conceit will know no limits when the mother of the universe is his Shakti. Who could defeat Self-Conceit then? When he has all the Shakti of the universe under his control, he will be invincible. So you just come on down there. You got nothing going on up there. I mean, what, are you going to stand there for years together, yuga after yuga, waiting for a devotee to come?
The Rishi said, "Then the goddess, the excellent supreme empress, she who removes all difficulties, thoughtfully, tranquilly, gently smiling, gave her reply. The goddess said, all that you have said is true without a particle of falsehood. Self-conceit is the master of the three worlds, as is equally the valiant self-deprecation. But in this matter, because of my small intelligence, I have already undertaken an oath to which I cannot be untrue. Please listen. Whoever will defeat me in the battle and make me sit still, whoever will lose his self-conceit in me, whoever will see all the force of the universe in me, he will be my husband. Three little things. He's the king of the world. And I'm just this poor little girl, made a silly promise when I was young. Make me sit still. See all the self-conceit in me. Surrender all your duality to me. Pay attention only to me. And then see me everywhere. And I'll be yours forever. Three little things. Very, very simple. Three little things. Make me stop my dance and sit still. Don't think of anything other than me. Surrender all of your self-conceit to me. And then see me everywhere. And I'll be yours for eternity. I will never leave. So you return to self-conceit and self-deprecation, the great thoughts. When they conquer me, I will marry. What is the necessity of delay? If they can fulfill these three little things, I'll come down in a moment. I'll be with them eternally. The ambassador said, "Goddess, your pride is very great to speak like that to me. In the three worlds, there's not a man who can stand against self-conceit and self-deprecation. Goddess, all of the gods cannot challenge the thoughts in battle. What merit have you, as you are alone and a woman? If the rule of the pure and all the other gods could not stand up to self-conceit in battle, how will you, a woman, go forth to battle? Therefore, go to self-conceit and self-deprecation because of what I have said. In this way, you will protect your dignity. Otherwise, when you are grabbed by the hair and dragged, you will lose your honor. And the goddess said, what you say is correct. Self-conceit is very strong, and self-deprecation, too, is a valiant warrior. But what can I do? Without thinking, I've made this promise. Now you go, and just as I have told you, explain fully to the King of Thought. Tell self-conceit everything I told you, all the three little things he's got to do in order to marry me. Then let him think to do what is proper. Oh. It's true. Self-conceit is the king of the three worlds, and everyone must obey his order. And it's true that I am alone, and I'm unarmed, and I'm a woman. And you are a warrior with this magnificent army with you, this huge army. And if you want to grab me by my hair and drag me, go ahead. But I'm not coming of my own volition. You tell my promise to self-conceit. Yo mangjayati sangrame. Yo me darpam vyapohati. Yo me prati balo loke. Same bartab bishati. Three little things he's got to do. Make me sit still. Surrender all his self-conceit to me. And then see me everywhere. I'll be his eternally. Don't all of us feel that way? If we got that kind of love, where would we go? I don't think any of us would ever have duality in any relationship if we had that kind of relationship. We only saw the beloved, and we surrendered all the self-conceit to our beloved. And then see our beloved everywhere. Could any of us ask for any more? How about her? She wants the same thing. The same thing that all of us are searching for. And she wants it on a divine level. We want it on an individual level. So interesting. How many of us trained to give it? Not many of us spent much time in our educational processes training to be that perfect devotee. And yet we all would love someone to recognize us as the object of their devotion. We're all wanting to be the beloved. How many of us are qualified to be the lover? So here she's got three little conditions. Love me totally, and I'm yours. Do we have any questions in chapter 5?
Of her, she's, we're by bowing to her in all these forms, and in that, if that's the surrender, to realize the quality of the Divine Mother that we're bowing to, are we bowing to that desire of our own soul? In that experience of bowing to her, is that experience surrendering your own soul? Mother always says, bow to your own soul. It seems a little egotistical from a Western perspective, because as if you're bowing to God. But I understand that I could surrender and wish that I would become purified to have that quality of the Divine Mother, to realize that quality within myself. So is the experience of surrender, bowing to a part of your own self?
All that's divine within you. But remember, the divine within you isn't necessarily manifest in the form within you. It's the essence within you. So here we're saying, Ya Devi Sarvabhuteshu Bhranti Rupena Sanghitai. Even in the confusion, if I can remember your presence, it ceases to be confusion to me. It ceases to be burden to me. I don't have problems. I just have opportunities to find the appropriate solutions. I have ways to serve you by looking for the solution rather than being burdened by the problem. So if we can see her in every activity of life, in all that we do, in every form that we relate with, she'll be ours forever. Now, when it says she'll be our husband, it means the Mother Nature will marry consciousness. Consciousness is the Shiva within us. Nature is the Shakti within us. Our hearts and our minds will be together. We'll move together as an integrated unit. We go where we know we should go with conviction. And that's a different issue than just going there because we're supposed to go. Going because we've defined the goal, we have conviction, we have understanding, we've dedicated ourselves, we've taken the sankalpa. This is the journey. So here she's present and available in every object and relationship and attitude in existence. And if we remember her in every object, relationship, or attitude in existence, we live with her all the time. And she will never forsake such a relationship. Would you? No. I think none of us will. Yes, David. Yes. Let's see how I translated 25 years ago. Oh, okay, I didn't translate. Bhima is extremely fierce or terrific or wonderful, strong. And Brahmarti is the goddess who comes like a Brahmer, that's a bee. And the quality of the bee is she always goes for the nectar. If you follow the fly around, you'll find yourselves in various positions or various places, some of which may not be appropriate. But if you follow the bee goes from flower to flower and goes directly to the nectar. She takes only the honey. So this is the nature of the seed. It's just full of sweetness and goodness. Yes, please.
In verse 113, you of inconstant ways.
Yes. Just look at her for a while and see how long she can look you in the eye. She's always moving back and forth. Or maybe it's me. I think it's her. Would you please sit still, you of inconstant gaze? What do you have to look at over there or over there? Just look at me. What Well, she will for a while, but then she'll let me go. And she makes our days inconstant. Yes, please.
When bound to a devotion, you remembered in a physical image, she immediately terminates every adversity. You mentioned that she opens the door to include vision.
Yes, she does.
Is that how she...
That's just how she does it. That's how she does. When we bow to her with devotion, then all we can think of is the object of our devotion and the perfect surrender that we want to give her. You know, there's just times when you just fall in love with such intensity where the duality ceases. And that's the bowing. That's the way we bow to her, with so much love and so much dedication that the duality ceases, she just opens the door.
So you forget your adversity.
Well, you forget even your duality. The adversity is way lower on the pole. You left that a long time ago. And now you're leaving even the sense of you. And then all that is left is her. And she's taken away self-conceit. And she's taken away self-deprecation. And all that's left is the self. And that's fun. That's the object. Are there other questions? Yes.
When she says I'm remembered in a physical image.
Yes.
We've just gotten done saying that she is the form of everything.
Yes.
So
any physical image that you can turn into your goddess.
At any moment.
At any moment. It may be a flower, it may be chocolate ice cream. It may be the form of the goddess. It may be whatever you choose to focus on. It may be your beloved. It is your beloved no matter what form the beloved takes at that moment. It's the one you love so much that you can't think of you. That's the form of the goddess. Whatever form. Yes, please.
So we don't fall in love because we're constantly thinking about ourselves. Is that right?
Oh, that's what keeps us from falling in love. Yes. that keeps us from falling in love. Yeah. That would be a tremendous impediment.
So that's why we haven't totally fallen in love with the goddess.
Yes, and even when we try to start falling in love, something comes and drags us back from the precipice and says, oh, wait, don't give up all your defenses, because then you'll be defenseless. And here, in order for self-conceit to marry the mother, he's got three conditions: to sit still, to surrender all of his conceit to her, and to see her everywhere. And that means he becomes a real lover.
So how do you surrender all your conceit?
We do the sadhana, the practice. We study, we pray, we request her to please do for us as she did for the others who did the same tapasya. But ultimately, it is grace, kripa. It's grace, her grace. She gives her grace in order to allow us to surrender our self-conceit. And the grace is, what you do is what you get. So if we do the tapasya and the sadhana, the spiritual discipline, we bow down with discipline. With discipline, we are bowed down. We're demonstrating the sincerity of our love through our discipline. That means learning how to sit and learning how to breathe and learning how to chant and learning how to worship and learning how to surrender all of our self-conceit, step by step. And then we too can pray that just as you did for them, just so you will do for us, because we are doing just what they did. That's how they became gods and goddesses. And that's the path that we will take. Yes, please.
Chanting the Chandi with a physical murti in front of you versus not with a murti?
Yes.
What is the difference in this one better?
Yes. We worship outside until the deity comes inside. Now, if you want to start off by worshiping inside, it'll be very difficult because you don't know what we're looking for yet. It's easier to hold the gross body still than it is the subtle body. If I try to grab onto my thoughts, it'll be more difficult than trying to grab onto my arm. So let's start from the very beginning. A, B, C. Yam, Niyam, Asan, Pranayam, Ashtanga Yoga. Yam, organize our lives and take control of our lives by defining our goals. Define the path. Make a balance for our lives. Figure out what we want to do. Niyam, make a budget, make a discipline. After you know what the goal is, it's very easy to figure out how much time you can spend pursuing that goal. How much resources you need for that goal. How much energy you can give. Yam, niyam, asan, put your body in harmony so you can sit down. Pranayam, put your breath in harmony. Pratyahara, bring your senses inside. Cloister your senses. There's nothing out there that's calling me. Dharana, dhyana, samadhi. That's the path. So we move from the outside, get more subtle and more subtle and more subtle. And when you're very far away, I have to call you loudly so you can hear and respond to me. When you're very close, I can look into your eyes and you know what I want to say. And that's the way it is with her, too. When we start out and we can't make her sit still and she's far away and there's all this noise going on inside, we call loudly. So she can hear us above the roar of sound that's going on inside. And when she comes very close, we can just look her in the eye and say, or so there are three forms of the puja. Shabda, where we speak audibly the sound of the mantras and offer the physical offering. Pumps, and manas. Om Sang Sarasvati. We'll work from the outside and get more subtle and more subtle and more subtle as we come in. So we want to remember her in a physical form. And then we go to the formless. She'll take us to the formless.
Does the Chandi is directed at all goddesses? For instance, Sita, Radha, Santoshima. That
equally
is good. The Chandi say Durga, Lakshmi,
yes.
Kali.
Uh-huh. And it also says Triyahasamastahasakalajarasu. All women in the world reflect her nature entirely. Entirely. All women in the world reflect her nature entirely. That's a pretty big responsibility.
If only the men would remember.
If only that. It's a responsibility for the men to remember. It's a responsibility for the women to reflect. It's a responsibility to us all to inspire each other to act as though all women in the world reflect her nature entirely. That makes all the boys devotees. That makes all the women goddesses. Just communicating blessings with their every behavior. That's the Dharma. That's the highest ideal of perfection. All the girls gotta show it all the time.
See me everywhere.
And all the boys gotta look for it all the time. That's the Dharma. And anything less is something less. It's not our highest ideal of perfection. What we're calling the highest ideal of perfection is to live this Dharma. To live the truth of the Chandi, where all women of the world reflect that nature entirely. Om Sang Saraswati Namah. Namaste.